Stories you can share. The Natasha Hall Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
So when I say jobs like welders, firefighters, nurses, mechanics, I bet you think of a certain gender. We're kind of programmed to think that way, right? These are professions commonly associated with men versus nurses or elementary school teachers, you know, and then others that are associated with women. It's stereotypes that just simply exist. So why do these stereotypes exist? How do we break them down? And how does it make it seem like women or men are less effective in those roles that aren't necessarily associated with their gender? Laura During is an assistant professor of strategy and organization at McGill University, and she joins us now. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Natasha. Thanks for having
me. Can I call you Laura?
Of course.
Should I call you professor?
No, feel free to call me Laura.
It's great to have you here, and it's great to have you help us get to the bottom of this. So our brains are just pre-programmed. This is just something that's happened throughout history, that certain roles, certain jobs are associated with certain genders.
Yes, and that was part of the question that my co-author and I were really interested in when we took on this study, was why is it that we associate certain jobs with men and women? And, you know, as you mentioned, we tend to think of certain jobs, you know, like firefighter is masculine, nurse is feminine, but how does it come to be this way? And it turns out it's actually a difficult question to answer because so many jobs have been gendered in that way for such a long time.
For so long.
Yeah. So what my colleague and I did was we looked at a job that was not stereotypically masculine or feminine.
Okay.
To see how people responded to men and women who were working in that position.
Okay. So what job was that?
It was a commercial microfinance loan manager in Central America.
Whoa, okay. Yes. I can't even wrap my brain around that. So something to do with finance, with money and banking.
Exactly. So this was a really great job for this study because you're exactly right that it's in the financial sector, which is an area that we typically associate with men. But because it's microfinance, it's making loans to very low-income people.
Yeah.
So it has social service and poverty alleviation associated with it. So you could also think of it as feminine. It was also a very new job, so people just didn't really know what to make of it.
So it hadn't been relegated to, a chick job or a dude job.
Exactly.
Yet.
Exactly.
Because that's kind of what it breaks down to, right?
That's exactly right.
These are like it's a social norm kind of thing where mm-hmm. we've just relegated. It's like, oh, that's a chick job. This is a dude job. Okay, but are we in general moving away from some of these gender stereotype jobs or definitions?
I don't know that we're necessarily moving away from them. I mean, there are certainly lots of new jobs in the economy that are not yet masculine or feminine. And so it was interesting for us to think about, you know, what's going to happen? How do we come to think of a job that isn't necessarily masculine or feminine as a man's job or a woman's job?
Yeah. Okay. So in your study, you focused on this one job. Mm-hmm. And okay, what is the job again?
commercial microfinance loan manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you find?
Yeah. So first what we found was that in general, clients gave much less authority to women than men. And this wasn't super surprising. This was something that, you know, a lot of other research had already established. But then we looked a little closer and we found that there were circumstances where some loan officers would leave their position. So clients would experience a switch of loan officers. So they might start with a man and be transferred to a woman, start with a woman, be transferred to a man. And so that let us look at what happened when people were interacting with a loan manager in a role that they saw as, quote unquote, a man's job or a woman's job based on the first person they had interacted with.
And what, how did people, as you're describing, I'm imagining myself, and you know what, because what's interesting is that we're guilty of it ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like you would think that as a woman, you would try to move yourself away from that. And yet you mm-hmm. do. I did it just the other day. I said he to describe a certain, I was like, why am I clinging to that he? Why would I assume that it's a he?
Mm-hmm.
So how did people respond to that shift of it going from being one figure to another?
Well, what was very interesting that we found was how people responded to male managers. So when men stepped in to fill the roles that had previously been occupied by another man or another woman, mm-hmm. they experienced really drastic differences in authority. So when a man took over for another man, clients were very compliant with all of his directives. But when a man stepped into a female-typed role, he experienced much less authority. And so this is particularly surprising because we often think of men as enjoying a lot of authority, particularly in managerial roles. And what this shows is that it really depends on the context. If men are filling female-typed roles, unfortunately, they're
less
subject
authority.
To the same gender biases as women
okay,
are.
Okay, so, so then why is this problematic or outright bad for both men and women?
Right. Well, you know, in an ideal world, we want everyone to be able to pursue the type of work that they like and that they're good at, regardless of their gender.
Totally.
So, you know, it's bad for both men and women because we want everyone to experience authority based on their performance and not based on their gender. So I think this is, you know, in some ways a wake-up call that gender bias is not just a woman's issue, but it also affects men as well through these downstream effects.
Is that better in a way? At least it's affecting both genders, so we all have to deal with it?
You know, I think you can think of it in that way. It makes it less of a problem that's relegated just to one gender.
Yeah.
It makes it more of a human problem.
But what can we do about it? Or,
yeah.
or like, why do we have to do something about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think there are steps that we can take at, you know, various levels. So most immediately for men who are working in female-type positions, one of the things that they can do is to try to emphasize some of the more masculine aspects of their work. So, for instance, a male nurse might talk about some of the heavy lifting that he does in the job with his patients.
That's interesting.
So this is a way of kind of, emphasizing the more masculine aspects of the work. There are also things that employers can do to lessen some of these gender biases. So, for instance, employers, if they know they have a female-typed role in their organization, so a hospital administrator at a staff meeting might talk about how important nurses are. So using what we call endorsements to talk about how valid and important certain positions are can help.
So kind of exaggerating almost.
Yeah, exaggerating, but also just
emphasizing.
Emphasizing
is a better word. Because exaggerate, we were talking about lying earlier, so I like that, emphasizing.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think there are things that everyone can do, whether you're an employee or an employer or just a regular citizen, is that we can all be really vigilant about our behaviors and how we're treating people.
Yep.
So if you're a patient in that hospital and you have a male nurse and you find yourself being, you know, resistant to his suggestions, just to step back and say, Why is it that I'm not following his suggestions? Is it because I don't agree with the instructions, or does it have something to do with the fact that he's a man working in a woman's role? So I think this is all of our responsibility, and we are all guilty of it.
Like I said, I caught myself just the other day. So that's step one, just to be conscious of it and catch yourself in those little things.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your insight on this subject matter.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Laura During. She's an assistant professor of strategy and organization at McGill University. I'm going to try to think differently when I list those jobs: welders, nurses, mechanics, firefighters. Thanks, Laura.